The September 11, 2001 radical Islamic terrorist attacks left memories with all of us that burn inside us to this day. That day also left many of the 9/11 first responders with physical and emotional injuries, which require ongoing health care. The program created to help these heroes who ran toward the dangers everyone else had to run away from has been allowed, believe it or not, to expire, and its restoration is being bumped to the side with, at best, a limited renewal being offered. My first guest this week is here to explain this vital need of the program and what's being done to make it permanent. He's the National Legislative Director for the Uniformed Firefighters Association. Say good morning to Deputy Chief Richard Allies. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning, Chris. Nice to be on the show.
And, of course, I'm going to give you a couple of links listening, but, of course, we had them over to our website, too, for this issue overall, renew911health.org, and learn more about the Uniformed Firefighters Association, UFANYC.org is where you can do that. And, you know, it seems like a no-brainer, unless somebody in Congress is looking at H.R. 1786 and S.928, which fortunately there's a growing number of sponsors for, but unless there's some fool in Congress who think there's a cure for cancer and emphysema and other diseases right around the corner, why is there even a thought of letting this program expire?
Well, we have had tremendous bipartisan support on the permanent legislation. Right now, we have 250 co-sponsors in the House and a filibuster-proof Senate version of 65. And it's my personal belief and those in the 9/11 community that Congressman Goodlatte, who is the House Judiciary Chairman, submitted this five-year proposal basically as a stopgap measure to kind of slow things down and maybe to try to force us into a compromise. Well, the time for compromise is over. We compromised 5 years ago when we accepted a five-year bill, knowing that we would be back with the very same first responders, and I prefer to use the title domestic veterans because that's what they are.
Sure.
The war started in 2001, and now we've had several wars subsequent to that. But when we knew we'd be back, and now it is with 72,000 people enrolled in the program, over 33,000 receiving a treatment. Almost 9,000 of those are being monitored and treated from outside the New York metropolitan area. So it truly is a national piece of legislation that affects all 50 states and 433 out of the 435 congressional districts.
I'm glad you brought that point up, too, because a lot of the many of those who are ignorant of the reality excuses as saying, well, this is a New York, New Jersey issue. Let those two states handle it. Where, as you pointed out, there were responders from around the country, from outside the country, even that came in to help in the aftermath. And I should remind you listening too, this initial passage of the program was with then House Speaker John Boehner being dragged, kicking, screaming into letting this come up onto the calendar for a vote in the first place.
Exactly. And the new speaker, Paul Ryan, has publicly, addressed the concerns, says he's supportive of it, but it remains to be seen what version he will allow. I mean, I'm going to be down in Washington on Tuesday. I'm going to call on the speaker to be a leader, a true leader, to authorize his committee chairpersons to allow this legislation to go to the floor. Let the elected representatives of all 50 states vote on this. They know what they need to do. Let's not have compromising bills. Let's not have alternating bills where we have to sit down and have a watered-down version. There's no need for that. And I really hope on Tuesday when I'll be down there with domestic veterans from across the country, from states like Tennessee and Texas and Indiana, in Virginia, with hat in hand. Many of them are sick and dying. Sick and dying. We have over 4,000 of these responders that are dealing with serious 9/11 related cancer. We have members that will be wheeling around in wheelchairs. These people basically insist on coming down, first of all, so they have my admiration. But it is heart-wrenching, and it is humiliating to do. So we can't do this anymore. We need the legislation to be permanent so that these people can go on with their lives. The stress, if we don't get the bill reauthorized by the end of the year, although there is enough money in the program to last until October of 2016, the law requires that come spring, letters will have to be sent to patients that are in the program, notifying them that the funding will run out and they are going to need to find alternate means of paying for their health care. Also, the doctors, the nurses, and medical staff will also be receiving those same letters. And if you're employed in one of those programs, what are you going to do? You're going to, well, hey, let me start looking for another job. And some of these clinics across the country that are providing this vital service will begin to close up. In addition, of that 33,000 number that I said are receiving treatment, more than two-thirds of those have more than one illness or more than one injury. And on top of that, many are dealing with PTSD. So the stress of having a serious illness and then the additional stress of worrying about where you're going to find the money to receive the vital life and death treatment that they are receiving.
Richard Allies, who is the National Legislative Director for the Uniformed Firefighters Association, about the James Zadroga Health and Compensation Reauthorization Act, Permanent Reauthorization Act, which should qualify too. You can learn more at renew911health.org and the website for the Uniformed Firefighters Association, ufanyc.org, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. And Richard, too, when you think of just the cost of this medical care that some of these heroes are being forced to take. I mean, I was reading one story where medication for one firefighter that has a certain cancer is costing $9,000. I mean, where all of a sudden is someone like that going to be able to reach into their pockets without selling their home, possibly, and continue the medical care that they need?
Yeah, you're talking about, you know, true American heroes, and then on top of that, once they're sick, we're supposed to just allow them to go bankrupt, allow them to go homeless, allow them to end up in a homeless shelter. I spoke with a battalion chief in the New York City Fire Department just yesterday who is recovering from pancreatic surgery. He told me that the bills have totaled upwards of $250,000 that he would have been responsible for. Now this is a man that worked over a 9-month period. We talking about the longest search, rescue, and recovery operation in our nation's history. So that's just one of the 33,000 that are receiving treatment.
And let me remind you, listening to this, in light of the fact that I think it was maybe 3 or 4 days after the attacks, then EPA head Christy Whitman was standing in the rubble saying, everything's fine. Take the face mask off. It doesn't look good for the photos, and the air is clear.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and you know, people in our line of work. Let's face it. They would have gone and faced the danger anyway.
Oh, sure.
But yeah, you're right. The government did sanction it, and I also would remind your listeners that just days after September 11th, we had the president of the United States that stood on a pile of debris with his arm draped around the shoulder of a New York City firefighter, and he promised us that our nation would take care of our first responders, our domestic veterans. And it took 9 years to fulfill that, for Congress to get around to finally deciding that, yes, and again, we compromised with the five-year bill.
It's disgusting that Congress can, in a heartbeat, find money for a museum for some obscure poet or some item of nature, but when it comes to human lives, a situation like this is being endangered, as are the lives of these firefighters and rescuers being endangered. So for someone listening right now, Richard, what's one of the most important things a listener could do as far as showing that this cannot be allowed to happen, that a permanent program has to be in place, as opposed to this treating people's health like they do the federal budget? Well, we'll kick the can down the road. Worry about that a year from now, 2 years from now. And that doesn't give security for the recipients in these programs either.
Right. Well, there's precedent for permanent legislation because they have more parochial bills, which the Black Lung Bill, which protects mine workers. That's permanent legislation. There's a bill that protects people that work in the radiation industry, which again is parochial. It's in a particular area of the country where people work in that industry. This is national legislation that affects everybody in all 50 states. What the listeners can do, regardless of where they are in the country, they can go to the congressional website and find out the name and the number of their congressman and or senator, and find out whether or not they have signed on as a co-sponsor to the James Droga 9/11 Health and Compensation Act. And if they haven't, urge them to sign on. Elected representatives, if I learned anything from going back and forth to Washington, they really need to hear from their constituents, which is why my international, the International Association of Firefighters, why when we visit elected representatives from the various states, we bring first responders from that district, because that's what they want to hear, that's what they need to hear. And all of these representatives have constituents in their district that are in the program, and they need this program to continue. So that one job, the listeners out there, if they could do that, it would give us a real shot in the arm to continue the pressure to get this legislation passed.
So time for your voice to be increased on this is now, and to do so, you can learn more at renew911health.org. Also at the website for the Uniformed Firefighters Association on the homepage, there's they call it a slider, not to get overly technical on you, but in the first slider you'll see an update of the co-sponsors. You can click on that, get more information too. House.gov, Senate.gov, you can look up your representative and contact them that way. It's renew911health.org, and you can also learn more at ufanyc.org. The website for the Uniformed Firefighters Association. We're joined by their National Legislative Director, Deputy Chief Richard Allies. Richard, good luck on Tuesday. It's hold your nose because you're going into a cesspool when you go down to Washington, but you're used to fighting the battles, and this is one that's certainly worthy of fighting. Good luck, and thanks for being here this morning.
Thank you, Chris, and truly appreciate your giving the attention to this important piece of legislation. Thank you very much, and thank you to your listeners at home.